Hello, world. What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again with the Fight Bananas podcast. How's everyone doing? Oh, my goodness. What an absolute bananas week the last 5-10 days have been. We got so much more in the future and so much happening right now. Wow. Just a insane time to be a mixed martial arts fan. This is the time to be. We put in our time, guys. I remember watching it on pay-per-view once a quarter. I remember watching it on FX or Spike. Look up those kids. How about on Fuel TV? That's my hardcore MMA fans back in the day. Guys, ESPN, John Jones in the main event, the scoreboard, just everything. Oh my goodness. So much to get into. Man. UFC 247, just crazy. I definitely want to talk about UFC Ranchero coming up. My main man, Brock Weaver, on the card, making his UFC debut. Guys, Ross Pearson wants to come on. You know, I guess there's some beef with him and Jim Allers, the Bare Knuckle Beast. Jim is fighting this Saturday, Bare Knuckle FC 10 in the co-main event versus Caleb Harris. You know, so I want to talk to Ross about that. There's so much more, guys. Ross Pearson's coming on, a UFC Ultimate Fighter winner, a Ultimate Fighter coach, one of the definitely the guys who put the Ultimate Fighter on the map, and not even that, just bringing that flair overseas. Just I'm a big fan of Ross Pearson and what he has done for the mixed martial arts game. So, hey, if Ross Pearson wants to talk, I am definitely willing to listen. My main man, the real deal, Ross Pearson. All right, guys, on the Hot Bananas Fight Line. How you doing? Ross Pearson, the real deal. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing really good, doing real good. Where are you calling from? You're across the pond?
Yeah, I'm just north of Sydney, Australia.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Called the Central Coast.
Beautiful. You love living out there?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Obviously, originally I'm from England.
Right.
But my wife, she's from Australia, so we decided to move out this way. And I've been living out here now for 5 years now.
That's awesome. Definitely happy wife, happy life. You know, so...
So the seer.
Awesome, brother. Man, let's get right into it. There's so much I do want to talk to you about, especially after a couple nights ago, UFC 247. But first and foremost, on this show, Fight Bananas, Jim Allers was on the show, was talking, you know, hyping up Bare Knuckle FC 10. And yeah, your name definitely came up. He mentioned it. He said that's it. Like, he would love a Bare Knuckle FC fight with Ross Pearson. And I just, that came out of nowhere. So where does that come from? You know, what do you think about that? So I'll give you the floor.
I mean, I don't know where it originated from. I don't know why he would want a bare knuckle boxing fight with me. It blows my mind why he would want it. He would get knocked out. He would get hurt, seriously, really bad. I don't know why he would want it, but cool. That's good for me. I think that sport's tailor-made for me. What people don't realize is that I've been fighting MMA for the last 10 years, but I'm a boxer. I just learned to do the rest of the things. All my finishes, everything came from my boxing ability. I'm a boxer at heart. I had a pro debut boxing fight last year, 2019, and stopped the guy in the second round. I've always had a passion for fighting boxing, and I just never had the opportunity to take it. UFC took all my time. And now this bare knuckle boxing has come on the scene. I think with my ability to fight in small gloves, in little gloves, being able to box, to dirty box, to clinch box, to fight on the inside, to fight at range, with my boxing ability, I think this sport's tailor-made for my style of fighting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought the same thing. I heard that. I was like, wow. For one, Jim Allers had a hell of a 2019. He was the Bare Knuckle FC Fighter of the Year. 3 wins, you know, cleaning through people. He really was. So he had a great year. And then he threw out. I was like, wow. But Ross Pearson, like, this is, you know, Jim Allers is a great jiu-jitsu guy, and he's great on the ground, and he's doing great work for Bare Knuckle FC. But when he mentioned your name, I go, wow, Ross Pearson, like, I think of Ross Pearson, the first thing, all the UFC, the Ultimate Fighter, the winners, the coaches, all that. Ross, I think of boxing. Like, that's when I see and I say your name, that's the first thing I think of. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is it. Like, let's make this happen. And social media, you know how that's how the world works. And the next thing you know, it's getting a lot of real buzz behind it. So first of all, you mentioned Bare Knuckle FC. Their 10th event is happening this Saturday, Fort Lauderdale. So how much have you been watching Bare Knuckle FC? Are you a fan of Bare Knuckle FC and what Dave Feldman's doing? So let's just hit on that for first.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's blown up. It's the new sport that everyone's talking about. It's where the UFC was 10, 15 years ago. You know, that's crazy sport. You know what I mean? But it's a sport that's been around forever. I knew about bare knuckle boxing before I even knew about the UFC. So now just to get some limelight and the sport to blow up and Dave doing what he's doing and making the show modern, up to date, real. It's great, you know, and to be a part of that and my fighting style to be a part of that, it makes sense. I'm definitely interested in doing it. It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like it's tailor-made for how I like to fight and what I like to do, and I'll be ready. I think the reason why GM does want potential fight with me is because of that reason of who I am, what I've done, my boxing ability, my name. I think it's a credit to himself. He thinks if he can beat me, then he's credited himself to being the best. Do you know what I mean? So
right.
I think he's trying to take the biggest and best names out there.
Oh, that makes sense. Actually, I never thought it that way, but when you say it, that makes perfect sense. If Jim Allers got the credentials of the Bare Knuckle FC fighter of 2019, and he went through a couple, you know, legitimate competitors, but he didn't go through anyone of the name of Ross Pearson. So now if he says, you know, if he can beat you in 2020, maybe this summer, we'll see. Hopefully that can happen sooner than later. And if he gets through this weekend versus Caleb Harris in a co-main event, that would be great. That would really, I believe you're right. He would solidify him as the hottest thing going in Bare Knuckle FC. That would solidify him as a...
Look, I haven't had any bare knuckle boxing fights. I've had pro boxing fights, MMA fights. I've had plenty of street fights with bare knuckle. But you put my name in bare knuckle boxing and I go right to the top. And I haven't even competed in that sport yet. So give me the fight with their best guy, and their best guy right now is Jim Miller. And then I go straight at the top.
Right, right.
My name's already at the top. My name's already at the top of their list.
Yes,
and
sir.
I've never even stepped in that ring yet.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Your name has a lot of merit to it. A couple names that they just signed. I would love your aspect of. They just signed like a guy like Thiago Alves. You know, UFC welterweight, great. Someone in the same division as you for a long time. They just signed him up, and one of the things he said that you kind of hit on was he feels good. He doesn't have to worry about leg kicks. He doesn't have to worry about people trying to wrestle him and grapple him to the ground. He can just let his hands go. He's loving it. He thinks this year is going to be a big year for Thiago Alves.
Look, I love Thiago and I love his fighting style, but the thing what Thiago Alves is good at is leg kicks. In bare knuckle boxing, you can't leg kick.
Correct.
Thiago Alves isn't known for his boxing. Russ Pearson's known for his boxing.
Right.
Thiago Alves is known for his leg kicks, his jumping knees, his Muay Thai clinch. That's not bare knuckle boxing.
Wow.
Let's not get it twisted. Let's be real.
Yes, sir. I love it. I love it.
So,
oh, man. This has got to go. This has got to go. We got to definitely put some gasoline on this fire. Ross Pearson, Bare Knuckle FC very soon. Like I said, Bare Knuckle FC 10 is coming up this weekend. Ross, just an event that just happened a couple days ago with UFC 247. And same kind of thing. I knew we were talking. So, you know, I'm thinking of topics. I remember probably around 4 or 5 years ago, I think you lost a split decision that even after that fight, Dana White, the president himself, was like, no way Ross Pearson won that fight. I'm going to tell my guys who's making the fights that in my head, Ross Pearson won that fight. You know what I mean? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's probably the worst thing that ever happened in my career.
Well, I'm sorry to bring it up, for one. I do apologize. Yeah. What I'm getting at is, John Jones and Dominic Reyes. It's been just literally the on fire MMA media about, you know, who won the fight and why. And, you know, we're trying to think of ways of, you know, with different judges. And one thing we've been saying on the Fight Finesse podcast for over a year, over 150 episodes, Ross, was just literally an open score, you know, an open judging, a scoreboard to let the opponents know maybe if Dominic Reyes knows where he's at in round five going into it, maybe he'll, you know, switch something up. Are you a fan? You know, yeah. What can they do to switch this, you know, negative ball rolling the wrong way?
I do like the idea of the open scorecard on the screen so the fighters can look up and see where they are.
Yes, sir.
But also, it also does have that that a fighter can switch off. If you score in the fights yourself in your head when you're fighting, some fighters tend to coast if they think they're a lot ahead. So maybe it does have positive and negative effects, an open scorecard. I think there has to be a more detailed scoring regimen. Like, I don't think wrestling should be as scored as highly as it is in MMA. I think the idea of MMA is to beat your opponent, finish your opponent, look for the finish to stop your opponent. I don't think control in wrestling, I think, shouldn't be scored as highly as a punch knockdown or a kick knockdown or, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think a takedown should be scored as highly as something what's hurting your opponent to take him down. Because you get guys like Dominic Reyes where John Jones take him down and he was right back up immediately. John Jones didn't do anything offensively to hurt him or finish the fight. So how can you score John for the takedown but not Dominic for getting back to his feet?
Right. I love that.
I just think wrestling is heavily based scoring in MMA. And I don't think striking, and I don't think I think significant strikes, what they put up on the tally at the end of the fights, John Jones was like 116 or whatever, and he was 122 or something.
Right.
But these significant strikes weren't clear strikes where, yes, they landed, but they were all defended. They were all blocked. Do you know what I mean? They weren't shots, 120 strikes. If someone took 120 strikes with little 4-ounce MMA gloves on,
yeah,
they're generally knocked out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So
right.
I think the opinion of the judging and the scoring needs to be a lot tighter.
I love that. And the analogy I'm going to bring to you is, you know, let's throw soccer or football, right? If you control the ball, but if you control the pace and you're on offense more, but hey, you don't put the ball through the net and the other team gets it and gets the goal, that team wins 1-0 or 2-1.
Yeah.
I like you're saying it's, you know, a guy can control or wrestle, but there's nothing happening. There's no damage, and there's no, you know, like you said, there's no significant strikes. There's not a touchdown or a goal being made. You know, maybe we shouldn't put that much emphasis on that. I like that. I do.
Yeah. Wow. And definitely, of course, styles makes fights. I think judges need to be more aware of the sport. The sport's growing so fast, and I think judges need to know more about the fighters. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
this guy likes to do this, so this is where he... So you say you get a grappler versus striker. The judges should know this guy likes to strike, and this guy likes to grapple. So, therefore, if the fight's a grappling fight, the guy who wants to grapple offensively is controlling, winning the fight, doing what he wants to do. He should get scored highly. Do you understand?
Yeah, no,
where if it's
that's
the other way
point.
Around, if it's a striking fight and the guy's keeping the fight on the feet, he's hitting him with the jab, he's kicking him with his legs, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Then he's winning the striking fight. He's keeping the, so the judges should be more aware, not just a straight down the line 10-9 point system where they don't know what type of fight it is, what the style of fight is, what the guy's looking for, what's the opinion of what he's trying to achieve. Right. That's why I think more actual MMA fighters should get into judging, because MMA fighters know fighters and they know what they're looking for. They're going to tell the reads. They can tell where they're looking for, where they want to take the fight, how to take it to the fight. Where judges and the athletic commissions are just general 9-to-5 people, just, oh, I think this guy won. Right. And that's where we're getting a mix-up in the results.
Right. Oh, Ross, I totally agree. This is something I actually been talking with people about in the last kind of, especially 48 hours, but not even that longer. So the judges, like you said, are 9-to-5 guys or girls, and, you know, they're making $40,000 a year, and they come to this, and, you know, wow, they, you know, there are 15,000 people in Houston. It's a big ordeal, and there's so much stuff going on. Like you said, if fighters, if Anthony Pettis, or if, you know what I mean, if anyone, the first thing that came in my head, if Edson Barbosa is watching the fight, or light heavyweights in the light heavyweight fight. Guys, yeah. The UFC is a multi-billion dollar company. The ESPN deal is amazing. Yeah. They have other contract deals. They got Reebok deal. To give these guys fighters now, too, and I shouldn't say Anthony Pettis. Let's give guys, you know, on the come up, you know, guys have been in the UFC 2-3 times, but they're, you know, a 15 pro career, and give them 5K. Give them 8K. You know, let them sign autographs the day of, the day before, take pictures with people, give them significant amount of money. But now on that night, their job is to judge the fights. So now you have legitimate fighters judging the fights and paying them a decent pay. I think it just helps everyone, because usually the main events, you know, Conor and Cowboy made tons of money that night. But the first three guys, they made 12 and 12, 15 and 15. Give them an extra 8K to, you know, judge the fights the next month. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I know it's difficult because there's favoritism, there's friends. The scoring could be persuaded, obviously, a lot different if your friend's in there and you're watching your friend fight. But there's got to be some sort of system where it's an unbiased way of, even if the UFC employ 20 fighters and they're put all these 20 fighters in the hat and they go, right, none of your friends is on this card. None of your training partners on this card. No one you know is on this card. You've won that one.
Yes.
And then they can schedule it just like the fight.
Right. Right. And even
the UFC schedule the fighters sleeping on different floors in the hotel, so there's no so there's no fighting in the hotel.
Right.
Surely they can schedule which fighter knows which fighter on the fight night.
No,
they put the fighters in different changing rooms, so there's no
altercations,
there's no beef between anyone.
Right, right. Oh, 100%, Ross, we're killing it. This is, I even like it too. You can have. I went the other way with young fighters. You're right. We can have guys who just left the sport. We can have guys that are, you know, 2 years out of the sport. Great names, great fighters. They've been around the game. You know, Ross, you debuted, 14, 16 years ago professionally? You've been around the game.
Yeah.
Your knowledge.
Fighting is all I know.
Right.
Fighting is what I've dedicated my life to.
Right.
And it's just this.
Why are we not using your resources, your knowledge? You know, why are the UFC, you know, they should easily fly you, fly the family out, you know what I mean? Give you a nice 10K, you know, time and get the right answers. Because the John Jones, Dominic Reyes, that's multi-million dollar business. This is, you know, this is big boy business.
Yeah.
This is not UFC of 2000. You know what I mean? Man.
The UFC wins both ways. The UFC wins if John Jones knocked him out. The UFC wins if Dominic Reyes knocked him out. The UFC wins if it's controversial and there's a rematch. It's going to be bigger the next time. So the UFC wins. That's why the UFC doesn't really change what it's wanting to do, because the UFC wins always.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Hey.
It's the fighters and the fans what debate, struggle to fathom what's gone wrong. Do you know what I mean? The UFC is just sitting back and enjoying the paychecks covered in.
Right, right. Gosh. Guys, we're talking to Ross Pearson on Instagram. Check him out, guys. Ross, the real deal. You know, of course, I got you on. I got to definitely bring it up. Ultimate Fighter winner, Ultimate Fighter coach. Just when you were on the show, it just had, it was the hottest show in all of mixed martial arts. It was the hottest show in the UFC. You know, now it's just not what it used to be. The Dana White Contender Series show, to me, really took that limelight. So I would just love your aspect, your takes on, you know, what the Ultimate Fighter means to you as a person, as a fighter. And, you know, is there anything they can do to try to bring it back, bring back the momentum they had years and years ago?
I guess for me, what it meant for me, it was my generation, like I said, my time. It was the place to be, the thing to do. To be the Ultimate Fighter was massive. Do you know what I mean? It was the era that we were living in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, I definitely think they've run the course with it. They've outgrown it. I think people started doing the same things. There was no originality to it anymore. I mean, the original crew, like Forrest, Diego, like, them original crew, that was like the making of it, and then it just got watered down the further and further and further it went. You know, I've seen this before, I've seen that before. So some, just if there were the word to bring it back, just make it more original, something new, something fresh. I don't know, maybe like maybe just like a table instead of a knockout, like. So you have kind of like what the PFL is doing,
right?
So you kind
right.
of have three fights and you score, and you, so it's not just like it's over. The fighting's over, maybe like 20 weeks or something. But you have 3-4 fights, and you get, obviously if you win the first round, you get 3 points. You win in the second round, you get 2 points. You win the third round by decision, you get 1 point. You know what I mean? So it's like right. it goes on a table system. And then you get to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, the finals, and then you're the Ultimate Fighter. I guess that's potentially something different that you look at.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Ross, I also was looking up, you know, your lineup. Your UFC lineup matches almost any fighter of all time. You know, guys like Paul Felder, Sam Stout, Ray Janal, Barbosa. You fought some of the best in the world. Then I looked at, I forgot this, I don't know how, but UFC 201, George Masvidal. Did you have any idea, 2016 now, this almost, yeah, 4 years ago, that right now George Masvidal is the biggest, hottest name in all of the UFC? Did you have any idea, did you feel that 4 years ago, 3 years ago when you fought him at UFC 201?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was always dangerous. I knew he was a guy that comes out and fights. I knew he had that potential to cause problems to anyone. He was a gamer. He's been around the sport a long time. So definitely I didn't underestimate him. I knew what I was getting myself into. But anyone can, like, in this sport, anyone can do, like, George Masvidal became massive after that knockout of Ben Askren. That was his, like, how many fights has he had before that? And he's just been like a normal fighter. Like, yes, he's good. Yes, he's amazing. But he did that one crazy thing, and then that made him. That changed his life.
It did.
It can happen to anyone. I never not knew that Masvidal was good. He is good. I took the fight on 2 weeks' notice, and I was in shape from the Will Brooks fight, and I won that fight. I wasn't hurt. I was ready to go, so I was in shape. And Masvidal was one of them things where I was like, I'm just here. I might as well fight. Let's do it. I'm keen. So I knew what I was getting myself into, but yeah, what he did, and he changed his life around with that knee.
Absolutely. I tell everyone in the fight game that Georgie was 33-13 before that Ben Askren fight. You know, just You don't think of that the best and who can be the hottest. He is. He's the biggest name in all of UFC. He can have any fight he wants. That's one reason why I really do love the sport, Ross. Like any female or male can just take this year and make 2020 their year, rocket launch their name up to the top. Same thing with Bare Knuckle UFC. That's what I did. When I talked to Jim Allers, he was just taking one fight. And it went well for him. He's like, okay, let me take two. That went even better. And then he got a lot of buzz around his name. And now, yeah, he was the Bare Knuckle FC Fighter of the Year. He is in the co-main events now. He's trying to get that 155-pound championship belt. So a lot of names. Ross, man, we really do appreciate your time. I do want to give you the end of this. We did talk about it. I don't want to beat down the horse, but, we would love to see you in a Bare Knuckle FC square ring very, very soon. I think the potential for you there is just incredible. I think of Ross Pearson, I think of boxing, and I just think you would be a perfect match for Bare Knuckle FC.
Yeah, look, we me and Dave, we've been talking. It's definitely some interest from both parties. We're just looking to get the deal done. I'm wanting to compete. It sounds fun. It sounds interesting. It's right up my street. And I'm looking forward to putting my hands on some people.
My man, I appreciate that. Hey, Ross, man, have a great day. We'll talk to you very soon. And hopefully we'll see you sooner. All right, brother?
All right, for sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, guys, that was one of my favorite interviews in the Fight Bananas history. Ross Pearson, my fandom, from back in the day, 10, 12, 15 years ago, I just remember a lot of Ross Pearson. The Ultimate Fighter show, then he was the coach, and then he was always, to me, must-see TV when it was on Spike and it was on FX and all those fight nights and all the pay-per-views. I'm telling you, you look back. Dennis Seaver, Cole Miller, Edson Barbosa, he beat George, Ryan Couture, he's fought Cub Swanson, he's fought the who's who in that, lightweight, welterweight, for UFC from 2010 all the way up to 2016, 2017, just a complete legend in the game. Ross Pearson, big, big fan. Check him out, guys, on Instagram, Ross The Real Deal. Guys, it's this weekend, Bare Knuckle FC 10. I'm going to close it with all this scorn, okay? First and foremost, yeah, I'm that person. Whoever won the fight deserves to win the fight. I'm not that guy of like, oh, he's a champion, and should he really beat him bad, or should he try to knock him out? No. Each fight is its own little war. Each fight is its own little story of the book. I don't want to know about the chapters 1 through 7 and 11 through 22. Chapter 8 is all that matters. And if Dominic Reyes, if you think he deserved that fight, he won, he did. But I think I'm going to be on an island. John Jones won that fight. Yeah, take it. I think John Jones won. There's 5 rounds in a fight. Almost everybody. No, not almost. Everybody says John Jones won round 4 and 5. There's not a question. Then you kind of get into the first 3 rounds. And everyone thinks that Dominic won round 1. And I do too. Dominic won round 1. But 2 and 3 is close. 2 and 3 is super close. Guys, sometimes a guy can throw more, but if he's not controlling or he's not landing significant strikes, cleaner strikes, better strikes, he's not, winning the fight. How about Dominic rotating backwards a lot to some judges? That's the big deal. Not to me. You know what I mean? Not really to me. But I watched the fight twice now. The first time, yeah, I was with you. I was a little bit more heated. I really thought maybe Dominic won and, people will lie to you. Everyone likes to see an upset or a new champion. Everyone loves when Bruce Buffer goes, and new! People love that. So in that moment, I was like, oh, Dominic Reyes won this fight. We're going to hear and new. We're going to see history. John Jones, the greatest light heavyweight fighter of all time, maybe the greatest fighter of all time. I just saw that maybe he lost. People love watching history. But the second time, I watched the fight, and I knew all the controversy, all the buzz around it. Guys, I'm in it. I've been getting stuff nonstop for the last 50 hours. I'm in it. John Jones won that fight. Come at me. I'm easy to find on all social media platforms at David Van Auken. Spell it correctly, guys. V-A-N-A-U-K-N. If you think I'm wrong, come at me. Watch the fight again and just watch it without, knowing who do you want to win the fight or who do you think won the fight. Just watch it clean. Just watch it again. John Jones won that fight. And still the light heavyweight champion of this world. Wow, guys, here we are. The Fight Benaz podcast keeps on rolling. Thank you so much. Last week was Curtis Blaydes and Glover Teixeira, Christy Martin. A couple of days ago, my main man, Impa Kansanganai, one of the best middleweights on this planet. Thank you so much for coming on the Fight Benaz podcast. Jim Allers, the episode just dropped a couple days ago. Thank you so much to the Bare Knuckle Beast. If that fight happens, I'm not going to say I'm a father of four kids. And sometimes when my kid does something really well, they open the door for a stranger or they say, God bless you to someone who sneezed at Target. I go, man, I love that. I take a little bit of ownership that my kids have good manners, that are doing the right thing. If we see Jim Allers and Ross Pearson in a Bare Knuckle FC square ring, I'm going to be the father of that fight. I feel a little bit of ownership of it. We've heard this back and forth. TheFightBenaz.com. There's articles on it. Social media platforms. Fight Benaz Official on Instagram. It's all over this. Bare Knuckle FC 14? 15? Main event. Ross Pearson versus Jim Allers. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Fight Benaz podcast. Stay tuned with all of our sponsors. That's Warhammer Fightwear. Check them out at warhammerfightwear.com. Some of the best gear in all of mixed martial arts for ladies, the kids, and of course, us men. Check out, guys, warhammerfightwear.com. Check out our family at Mako Tech Mouth Guards, some of the best mouth guards in the industry. They protect your gear. They protect your teeth. Check them out, guys, at Mako Tech Mouth Guards. Also, I should have started the show with this. I forgot it. I started it with the Impa Kansanganai podcast. Guys, Bullyproof Foundation. Check them out at bullyprooffoundation.org. They're our new, we partnered up with them. They have a great video on bullying. You should show it to your kids if they are being bullied or if they are the bullier. It's just something we got to just really wrench down on. We really got to take control of it, especially cyberbullying. So, guys, check out bullyprooffoundation.org. Every penny counts. There's a donate button on the website. Check them out, guys. bullyprooffoundation.org. Oh, man, thank you so much. Enstone Nutrition. Cannot forget our family at Enstone Nutrition. Been with us since day one. I take that joints jiu-jitsu every single darn day. Check them out, guys, at enstonenutrition.com. Ross Pearson, the real deal, man. Thank you so much. Ultimate Fighter winner, Ultimate Fighter coach, has defeated some of the best fighters on planet Earth. Dennis Seaver, Spencer Fisher, the list goes on and on. Paul Felder, Greg Maynard, Sam Stout. Ross Pearson, thank you so much for coming on the Fight Benaz podcast. Guys, continue success, stay blessed, and we'll talk to you guys in a minute.